Hey everybody, it's Monday.
Yeah.
And that means we're talking about a haunting.
Yeah, another one of our little haunting episodes.
This is a good one. These are always fun.
Yeah, this one is from season 7, and I think we you posted that, right? You gave them the update.
Last night. Because I think we said on the show, I thought somebody told me that the one that you were talking about was called The Calling, but then, which is from season 4, but then when I looked that one up, that one, it wasn't that. So, like, actually, it's weird because I had thought the one that you were talking about with Joseph, the freed slave ghost, I was like, I thought that was, like, earlier. Like, I thought it was from season 3 or 4. So I kept going through all the lists and being like, why the fuck can't I find it?
Because
it's season 7.
Yeah, I said on that show, I think it was 7 or 8. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember
I said, I think it's later. I think it's 7 or 8.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. What was it called again? It's called...
Demon's Revenge.
Yeah. Yeah, Demon's Revenge.
That's what I mean. It's like, so I'm never going to...
Yeah.
I'm never going to remember that name.
Yeah.
Because there is a demon in it, but...
Oh, shit, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's one of the good ones on season 7.
Yeah,
season 7 isn't like a strong season from what I remember. I'd have to go back and look at it. But this is a strong episode. It's like something that you'd get from season 2 or 3, you know. Round like that, and it had one of the scariest fucking ghosts in it. Was what's she doing?
What are
she
you
knocked
doing?
Something over.
I don't know
what was
that
the name
was.
Of that ghost. Joseph.
Joseph. Yeah.
Joseph. Yeah. Joseph shows up as a damn freed slave from like the 1800s with his cowboy hat on and his damn white shirt and saying, "This is my house." You know, get it. This is my house, and just his eyes are glowing and everything. It's pretty fucking spooky. He's one of the better ghosts in the whole
yeah, they did like a real effective makeup and wardrobe on there that made him like real spooky.
Yeah. So then you see him, and then they give some backstory. They do an investigation. They try to figure out who this is, and then they come across what they believe is a demon. Now, you know, I wasn't there, so I can't really make any, I can't really throw my two cents in that with any kind of, like, you know, certainty. I can just say I think it was a good story.
And this actually, why I forgot how good this episode was.
And the witnesses sound pretty credible. You know what I mean? Something happened. I just don't know what it was. Tell me, Adam. Something paranormal.
I was trying to find this actual house because, as usual, the house that they put on the show is not the actual house. But I couldn't really find the house. However, I did find a really long write-up by, you know, the lady that they interviewed on the show that was like the head of the paranormal investigation team that came there?
Yeah.
She did a really long write-up on her blog.
You're like in the video next door.
No, I'm not, because it's fine.
Your face is like getting cut off.
It's, how many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, that's right. It's not the same thing.
I have to tell him that, like, every time.
Yeah, she's
like,
got the chat moved over there. I thought that was...
Yeah, good. Because I have to have room for the notes.
Okay, I got you.
Like,
I
you know,
see,
this,
see.
This thing isn't... so anyway, what was I talking about?
Oh, fuck. I don't know, man. I thought shit was fucked up.
No, it's not fucked
what
up.
What was she saying?
This is the same place that I always sit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I should know. The camera's not moved.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now I forgot what I was saying.
What was she talking about, people?
Damn it.
No. I fucking... It was
But I did find, like, the lady that was the paranormal investigator.
Yeah.
She wrote a big, long blog post about this case. And so she had, like, a bunch of other information that they didn't really put on the show. And she was kind of talking a little bit about... She thought the show did a pretty good job of, you know, of portraying what it was. So we'll get into that, like, toward the end. Like, we'll just kind of go through the show and then I'll say, like, what she put on the thing. Now, I will note that... In the blog post, she had put links to some videos that they had recorded during their investigation, and they really weren't all that impressive, but I'll kind of get into that later. They never are, like all those paranormal ones, like unless they're faked.
Yeah, this is taking place at a farm that has a barn, 20 acres, which is pretty big, animals and stuff, and I have a part-time background in all that. You know, I grew up in the horse industry when I was a little boy. You know, my mother was a California champion fucking equestrian rider, fucking English equestrian over in California. And so I grew up around horses, and when pickings get slim back in the day, you know what I mean? If fucking military shit wasn't hyping or sales, what the fuck? She threw her own toy and chased it. I'd end up... It end up either going back to kitchen work, which I love working in kitchens, or barn work. In Florida, I'd work in a, there's so many barns here.
Yeah, he was working in a barn when I met. Well, like, I didn't actually meet you. You were working in the barn, but you had that job there.
Yeah, I love working with animals and barns. You know, fucking a lot of my background is fucking hunters and shit. Growing up as a fucking hunter and everything. So people think, well, damn, you hate animals. No, I love animals. Nothing but clean kills. It's all just food, creating food, and then, you know, basically kind of like halal slaughter. Make sure that fucking everybody, nobody knows what's going on. It's all fucking not cruel. You know what I mean? They don't know what's happening. So even things that aren't pets, you got to respect all animals. You know, that was kind of like a Native American way fucking of hunting. But so what happens in this, some of it I can kind of give my two cents on some of the things that happened in this barn. May have not been paranormal. Get it, Pokey. She's chasing the fucking toy mouse.
It's just cracking me up seeing her little run around.
So if I chime in about something about, you know, barn work, you know, and animal husbandry and shit like that, it's because I have experience in it. Just priming you guys for that. But I liked it because I could kind of relate to it, you know what I mean, with the fucking barn aspect of it. And the place that they showed on the episode looked cool. 20 acres, pretty fucking big.
It was a nice looking place. But the thing is, like, I really did look to find this place, and probably if you had more time, because I didn't have a lot of time today, but I did spend quite a bit of time, like, trying to see if I could find it, because I was like, maybe it has a reputation for being haunted, but I couldn't really find anything that, because it seems like there's a lot of these kind of, like, old plantation house type things, like, in that area. And I even looked on, like, Zillow and stuff. I'm like, where is there, like, a 20-acre farmhouse in this town that's, you know, for rent or whatever, but I couldn't really find anything.
Yeah, he had round pens and pastures, and looked like in the one that they showed, there was stuff for horses, chicken coops. He said he had chickens and rabbits. I think he just said he had one rabbit though.
One rabbit. That it was basically like his daughter's pet.
Yeah, I miss having chickens. Access to chickens. Fucking, I used some of that barn I once took care of over there, Dr. Matt's barn, was all you could eat free eggs. Those chickens, they made more eggs than they could eat, than that home could eat. So I just fucking walk out with like 5 dozen eggs. No problem. Next day, there'd be another 7 dozen fucking eggs. There was a lot of chickens, man. Remember those things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to get all kind of eggs from
them. Yeah, have a whole
refrigerator. Like I said, they didn't. They had the family that had the chickens. It's like, look, it's like, here, just take them.
Yeah,
it's
like take them. They were gone. They'd go overseas a lot. You know, they'd go to the Middle East and, you know, and or Egypt for a vacation. And I'd watch the place for months at a time, take care of their horses and make sure everything was mowed and, you know, make sure security was kept up. And that was a good barn. I loved taking care of that place.
That was a nice place.
Yeah, I was.
They had a couple goats too. That were super cute.
Yeah, so I was caretaker of Dr. Matt's barn. His mom built Orlando Hospital from a very wealthy family. It was like going to Disneyland. Private roads going through it. You'd never find the place if you didn't know where it was. Big ass fucking house. All right, and it's like one of these houses. Looks like an English manor, kinda. English colonial. Kind of plantation style manor. It wasn't that old though, you know.
Yeah, it didn't look that old.
No, but it was made with all wood, you know, expensive wood and grand pianos and spiral staircases and tile on the floor, real tiles, you know. Carports where you could pull in and have your chauffeur let you out of your car and that kind of shit, you know. It was nice. His barn was bigger than this house, you know. 15, how many? Probably 12 horses? 12 stalls, probably? Probably about 12.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was 12 stalls. Yeah, 12 stalls. Wasn't there...
12 stalls, shower racks, fucking, and everything. So, you know, and then the chicken coops and fucking turkeys. All kinds of adventures happened. Jenny would come and fucking visit me while I was working. You know? Play with the goats, ride around on the damn tractors, cutting, mowing the damn fields. It's fun.
But, I guess they still live there, don't they?
Yeah, they still live there.
It's not that far from our old house, actually.
Uh-uh.
It's not that far
from here.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying it was a lot closer to our old house. I think it was only like a mile from our old house.
About two miles from our old house.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But you had to know where it was.
Yeah, because it was on like a private road.
Yep, there'd be a road that would just end, and then on the side there'd be a dirt road just going off into the forest, and you would never know what that was, and you had to go down there ways,
yeah, and then it opened like up way, into a damn like paradise a big in there. Thing back there, yeah.
Yeah.
Oscar says, "Jenny, you're glowing."
Yeah, okay.
It's all that phosphorus in my
That's
diet.
That's what it is. Jenny's getting in shape, man. She's fucking getting that figure fucking steady, man. It's looking good. Getting all bombshell.
Riding 20 miles on that goddamn bike again today. Plus, I've only eaten, the only things I've eaten today, I've eaten one hot dog and one granola bar. That's all I've eaten all day.
Waist came in, got the booty, big boobs. Yeah, she's looking good.
Zach says, this episode was kind of unsatisfying to me. I loved the stock scream when the mom finds the dead animals. Spoiler alert. Yeah, that was pretty great. And the glasses on the little girl were ugly as sin. Oh, I kind of liked them. They were ugly, but in a cute ugly kind of way.
When we get
the little girl.
When we get to the dead animals, I doubted that. I don't think that was paranormal.
It might not have been. I will say, too, that in concerning the dead animals, there were actually more dead animals than they showed on the show.
Yeah.
So that they didn't put in the show.
How many are we talking?
I don't know. Okay. No, it wasn't all chickens. It was like some other stuff.
But it was smaller animals for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a horse, but I don't think the horse got killed.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of explanations.
But there were some stuff about the horse where like the horse was like didn't want to go in the barn and shit like that. But and I think it's weird because on the show, like they implied that they had a horse because they had like a sound effect of like a horse whinnying, but they never like specifically said that they had a horse, and I don't think they ever showed. Or no, I guess they did, like at some point, but they didn't say the horse got killed because I don't think it did. But yeah, they did actually have a horse in the barn too.
Yeah,
but as far as I know, it didn't.
Yeah. Dr. Matt had 4 or 5 horses, and then he had some boarders who boarded in there, like 3 more of them, ponies and shit too. They were all English thoroughbreds. Nice horses. Fucking wash rack in there. Farrier would come by. It was like running a business. It is. If you can't just do that shit, like some of these people think you can just do that shit and lay back on your laurels and just fucking, you know, do it as a side thing. No. It's a full-time business. Even if you're not making any food, you got to mow the lawn. You can hire somebody, but then all the landscaping and everything and upkeep and maintenance, it's constant.
We were just talking about this the other day. I said, you know, I've always thought that even if, you know, if I won the lottery, which would be awesome, universe, by the way, I don't think that I would do, and I'm not like shitting on people that want to do this, like, oh, I'm going to win the lottery and I want 20 acres and horses and blah, 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 but in a big mansion. And I'm not averse to, like, having a nice house, but to be honest with you, like, the bigger the house is, like, the more it just seems like a fucking job, like, keeping track of it. I'm like, you gotta hire people to, like, do the landscaping. You gotta hire people to clean it. You gotta do this, that, and the other thing. And it just seems like I said, it seems like a job. And I'm like, no, thank you. I would rather just kind of, like, live somewhere. I said, you know what? I can totally understand people that have a shit ton of money and don't even, like, really have a permanent house. They just, like, live in hotels, like, in whatever city they want to go to. I'm like, that kind of sounds more like me. I'm more like a low maintenance kind of gal.
For me, the best thing would be a fucking top-notch, cool-ass cabin, like somebody's hunting lodge, but, you know, classy. All right? That's off the grid. It's got its own power production, solar, its own well, its own sewage, and there isn't any really lawns or anything like that, but you can have chickens and a little garden in the back, and it's out in the middle of fucking nowhere. So if anything went wrong, nobody would know you were there. You know, it looked like one of those things you see up in Colorado or something.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Big picture windows made out of glass where if the end of the world ever happened, your main protection would be that obscurity. Nobody ever find you. You're just out in the middle of nowhere.
I'm just saying I would rather go the low maintenance route. I don't really want a big estate that needs a whole crew of people to keep it running because that just seems like way too much trouble.
That's why I said
to me, like the whole nice thing about having money is not having to do all of that crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why I said like a lodge or a cabin because, you know, it doesn't have any of that. You might have rocks around it and a fucking road, a gravel road running up to it.
Like I said, I'd probably just live in hotel rooms.
Out in the pine trees, you know?
I'd probably just live in hotel rooms or get like a really, really nice like penthouse condo somewhere like in a building where I don't have any outdoor anything. Mm-hmm. Like, and everything's kind of, like, taken care of for you, and you can just, like, walk to wherever you want to go. I would rather, like, much rather have something like that. Deborah Hockett is here. Tom and Jen, you two look marvelous.
Thank you
very much. Man, we must look nicer today than usual.
I feel sick.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You don't even feel all that good. And yeah. The last few days, too, I've been kind of like not feeling all that well either. Yeah. So nothing, it's not, you know, COVID or flu or nothing like that, but, you know, it's nothing like that. But I'm just saying, yeah, I haven't really felt 100% lately either, but I'm kind of feeling better today. But you've kind of been feeling crappy the last couple of days,
yeah,
too.
I'm transforming into a Minotaur.
I understand how difficult that is for you.
Yeah, transforming into a Minotaur.
Like I said.
That new shit, fucking, I got to adjust to that. Give me a headache.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, you thought, too, that it was like dehydration, because you're not like me. I have like a big glass of ice water or sugar-free iced tea next to my computer at all times. As soon as it's empty, I run down to the room and get more ice and get more water or tea, and I always have a full one going because I have to be drinking something all the time because I have like fucking cotton mouth, man.
Yeah.
Like my mouth dries out.
Okay, we got a pretty good crowd in there.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Zach says, if I won the lottery, I'd get a regular suburban home, but my two indulgences would be a home theater and an indoor pool. Yeah, I get that. I wouldn't mind having a home theater, actually. And an indoor pool would be nice, too. But like I said, the more things... I don't know. I just kind of feel like I've lived so long. I've lived like 50 years without all that kind of stuff. So a lot of the stuff, it just seems like more trouble than it's worth. So it's like I don't really know if I would use it enough to like justify the expense of it or, you know, taking care of it. So the older I get, the more I'm like, would I really want to, you know, either do the shit myself, like to maintain that, or hire somebody to do it and then have to manage that situation? And it's like, I'd really have to kind of like weigh the pros and cons of it, you know what I mean? Because I'm just like, I'm not lazy, but a lot of stuff I feel like is just kind of unnecessary. I don't know. You're just making unnecessary work for yourself. So like I said, I'm not, you know, like the barn that he used to work at, it was like, yeah, it was this big mansion and they had like all these horses and chickens and it was like this massive, massive thing. And they, like I said, they ran a business on the side where they would board people's horses and people came over and did like horse riding, like training and stuff like that. And if that's what they want to do, that's cool. But it's like, I would never want to manage like all of the shit that had to do with that, because even if you don't do it yourself, you still got to manage the people that do it. So I don't know, it just seems like too much work to me, you know what I mean? Zach says, when I was younger, I thought alcohol and coffee were adult drinks. Now I realize the actual adult drink is water. I am constantly shocked at how many people just do not drink water. I don't know, I guess I grew up, because I grew up, I wasn't, I'll drink soda, but I'm not like a big fan of it. I don't have to have it. If somebody said you can never drink soda ever again, I'd be like, eh, all right. I don't really care that much about it. And I never have, like even when I was a kid. And it's weird because the rest of my family were just kind of like, we have to have Coke all the time. And I'm just like, why? It's, you know, I don't like it. But yeah. So when I was a kid, pretty much all I would drink was water right out of the tap. Milk. I drank a lot of milk, like ice milk. Or sometimes orange juice or apple juice or grape juice if we had it, which we didn't usually. But other than that, I didn't drink it. And I still just drink mostly water. You know, I have coffee in the morning and then all day I usually drink water. Or sometimes Tom will make sugar-free tea and I'll drink that too. But other than that, I don't drink soda, nothing like that. And booze, obviously. I like booze. Let's see. Danny Rowling said, Tom sort of looked like the pilot from the episode, The Calling, at a quick glimpse in the face. Just saying. Okay.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, we didn't watch that. Well, the weird thing. Okay, so we watched this episode, obviously, last night, and I watched it again this morning, because I usually watch them twice. Like, the first time I watch it, like, and pay attention, and then the second time I watch it and then, like, take notes about it, and then try to find... you know, real shit that's, you know, in the, if there's anything online I can find about the case. So we did that. But then, like, after that, we're like, oh, yeah, we bought season 8 on Amazon Prime. So we watched a couple more, even though I was kind of like, well, maybe I shouldn't, because then I'll get, like, confused. But
yeah, it kind of happens.
Because sometimes you're just kind of like, wait, that happened on that one. But because I went through and watched it again today and took notes, I shouldn't get confused about it.
Yeah.
Hugo says, hi guys, you know, I've never seen this haunting TV show. Still, I enjoy your company every Monday on my 3 p.m. work break with an ice cold Coke. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to have seen it. It's more fun, I guess, if you've seen it, but I don't know. I kind of feel like you probably don't have to have seen it to enjoy the show.
Some of them just listen to stuff.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. All right, so as I mentioned, this one's called Demon's Revenge. Demon's Revenge, Season 7, Episode 1. This was actually a good one to start out on. I don't remember a lot of the episodes from the season, so I don't know if this is the best one. We'll probably get back to them at some point. So this took place in Franklin, Virginia. And I'm assuming that that's the real place because it was the real people and they used their real names and blah-de-blah. And when I found the shit on the Paranormal Investigators website, they did say it was Franklin, Virginia. So I guess that's where it is. Franklin, Virginia, interestingly, is kind of like not even in a county. It's like its own thing. It's like a city and a county at the same time from what I could determine. Yeah, because I was, like I said, I was trying to see if I could find the real house, but I couldn't find it. So it's this 200-year farmhouse. Now, this took place, what the events of this show, took place in the summer of 2008. So you got a guy named Billy, I think his last name is Quattlebaum?
Yeah, Quattlebaum. Yeah.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure, like, in my notes, I'm not sure if I spelled it right. Like, I put I think that's what it was. It was Quattlebaum. And he has a girlfriend named Tiffany. I think it was McKinnon or McKenna. It almost sounded like the Anthony Call, the narrator. I thought he said McKenna, but then when I looked it up on another site, they spelled it McKinnon. So maybe he was just pronounced. So it could be either one of those things. I'm not really sure. Now, the two of them had been dating for only 5 months and decide to move in together. Like I said, they didn't buy this place. They just rented it. Which, you know, considering what ended up happening, was probably a good idea because they would have been, like, really fucked if they'd they bought it. It's this big, you know, essentially like an old plantation house. It's on 20 acres. It's a big farmhouse, and there's, like, an old barn on the property as well. So they say that this area is, you know, plantations, mostly, like, going back as far as the 1600s, mostly tobacco, cotton plantations, stuff like that. So Billy has an 8-year-old daughter named Georgia who lives with him. So they move in I'm assuming that's from like a former marriage. And he's very happy about this place because he's always wanted to raise Georgia out in the country. I don't really know where these two are from originally. I'm assuming they're from the area. So Georgia was also on the show, like grown up, obviously. And she said she really, really liked the house at first because it was, like, way bigger than where they came from. And it was, like, really quiet out there and blah, blah, blah. So there's kind of a creepy scene near the beginning of the show with Georgia kind of peeking into, like, a dark room or a closet or something like that. And there's, like, some dark shadow. You know how they do on a haunting when they want to imply that, you know, oh, they weren't alone or someone was watching them or something like that.
They'll put something in.
And then they'll put like some little shadow going whoosh, like behind the person. And it's like the person didn't say they saw that, but they're just trying to like illustrate that, I guess. Because at this point, like the narrator is like, you know, but they aren't alone. You know what I mean? So she didn't say she saw anything or heard anything weird. Because I don't think that Georgia even saw or heard anything weird until like later on. This seemed like it was one of those situations where the mom, Tiffany, she was kind of like, well, I guess that wasn't really her mom, but like the lady, she was the one that kind of saw most of the stuff, and then the other two didn't really see the stuff until later on. So the family at this point, they had half a dozen chickens, 2 ducks, and a rabbit. One thing they didn't say, and I don't know if they thought this would be too upsetting, but they also had a puppy named Rebel. Mm-hmm. Which they didn't say on the show, but which the investigator said on the thing. Now, the puppy didn't die in the great animal killing thing that happened, but he did run way down the driveway and get hit by a car and killed. So there's that.
Well, they didn't include that because they knew that that wasn't paranormal.
Yeah, and plus, also, nobody wants to see, like, a fucking puppy get killed either. Come on. That's terrible. You know, I was upset enough about the bunny getting killed, for Christ's sake. So Tiffany and Georgia are like really into having all the animals. They keep them in the old barn on the property. Tiffany at first, like the first thing she kind of like says about it was that she thought the old barn was kind of creepy. Okay. So she said that when you went in there, it was like really weirdly silent. Like I'm assuming she means like it's some kind of silent that's like a paranormal, like an unnatural type of silence. That seemed like what she was getting at. So one day she's in there, you know, doing whatever she's doing, and the door closed on her, like, you know, the main barn door, and she couldn't get out. Like, the door was stuck. So she's like sitting there banging it all like, hey, the fucking door's stuck and I can't get out. And like, you know, nobody could hear her or whatever. So eventually she does get out and she's like, oh, maybe the wind just blew it shut. But she's pretty sure that that's not what happened because she was like really, really weirded out like the whole time that she was in the barn. She said also the whole time she was in there, she said you really had the feeling that you shouldn't look behind you, like, because there was maybe something there. And, like, maybe she should get the fuck out. Like, she said it was a very, very strong feeling.
Been there, done that.
Danny Rowling said, in the sixth and seventh season of A Haunting, do they still use any of the previous homes from the first four seasons at all, like they always did?
It looks like it.
They probably did. I imagine, like I said, that they had, like, a... Yeah. stable of houses that they would keep reusing, because I'd imagine like people were actually living in those houses and you'd have to like get permission. Either that or the houses were empty, you know, and they just kind of had, I don't really know, but it does seem to me that they do generally try to use houses that are near the ones that they're, you know what I mean, like in the same town or whatever is the ones that they're talking about, like even though obviously they're not the same ones. Zach says, I also think the chick playing the mom gave the best performance I've seen on this show so far. I guess on this one.
Yeah, she
was pretty good. Like I said, all the acting on this is like actually pretty solid. I've never seen anybody that stood out as being like a terrible actor.
No.
These are all very, very solid actors.
Yeah, if they're not solid, they're entertaining.
Yeah.
Where's that raccoon dude is fucking entertaining. And he was pretty solid.
This episode, I kind of feel like, and I even wrote up my notes, this episode has a little bit of a Where's That Raccoon moment. It's not exactly the same, but it's kind of the same spirit anyway. So we'll kind of get into that. You know what I mean? Because, you know.
Where is that raccoon?
I had to, like, just put that in there. All right. So, so a week after they move in, Billy is, of course, working late because the man is never there when this scary shit happens. He's always working late. And Georgia is not home either because she's visiting her grandparents. So Tiffany is alone in the house for the first time since they've moved in. She said she was like in the, it looked like she was in the dining room and she was like changing a light bulb, like in the chandelier thing, like over the table. And she said that the air started feeling very thick. And she said it suddenly got really, really cold, even though it was summertime and it was hot outside. She said she heard something like footsteps, and then all the lights kind of like flickered and went out. And she said it was really scary. So she calls Billy, and Billy, at first, he's a real dick about it, like at first. He just kind of like teases her about it, saying, oh, this, the house is teasing you, or talking to you, I think he said something like that, or the house is messing with you. And he just like kind of laughed it off, and she's like, bro, this shit's not funny, like this is like scary as shit. And she said that she was like panicking and she was really creeped out, and because he kept like just making fun of her, she was like, yeah, fuck this shit. And she said she just like grabbed the keys to the truck and just like jumped in the truck and like got the fuck out for a little while because she said it was really, really creepy. So over the next few weeks, she says, she's just trying to live with it, trying to convince herself that she's just imagining things. She said, now we were otherwise very happy in the house, so it was easier to deal with at first. Although at night, like, shit gets, like, super scary. So one night, apparently, she starts hearing kind of, like, banging coming from downstairs. She tries to wake Billy up, but he doesn't wake up, right? And I'm like, okay, whatever, useless motherfucker. So, but, I mean, the way this comes out, it's not exactly what you think it is. So she says the banging gets louder and louder and more intense as she walks down the staircase, right? She said that it was so dark that she couldn't see anything. Like, for some reason, she wasn't able to turn the lights on. And she said she had to open the front door to see what was going on. So she kind of looks out, she goes out on the porch and is looking around, and she doesn't see anything at first, but then, like, she turns to one side, and there's Joseph, the ghost, right, standing on the porch.
And on the left side of the door.
Yeah.
The door opening.
And he comes at her, like, he's bust through the door, and she kind of, like, falls on her back on the floor, and he's kind of, like, towering over her, and he starts screaming, this is my house!
Yeah.
And, like, he's super creepy.
Well, he doesn't really bust through the door, though.
Well,
it sounds like, you know, breaking the
door. It doesn't really matter because, well, she said that, like, on the show, though. That's why I wrote it down.
What they show is her falling down and him coming in through the doorway and coming down at her and his face zooming in. You know, I don't think...
Yeah, but she said in her interview that he came busting through the door.
Right.
But like I said, it doesn't really matter because, as we will soon see, this was a dream.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. It didn't really happen. Yeah.
So they've been in the house for 3 months at this point. Yeah. So she gets woken up, and by Billy being like, "What the fuck? Like, wake up!" So it turns out the whole thing was a dream, which is like a little bit of a fake out or whatever. But Tiffany said that it was so vivid that she was sure that Joseph, that she saw in her dream, was the spirit that she had been sensing in the house and that he was trying to communicate with her. She further says that even though the ghost was really scary, his face also looked really sad. She compared it to, she said, you know, when an animal is like showing you aggression, but just because it's afraid of you. She said it was kind of like that. And she said, and I kept hearing the name Joseph in my head, so I'm assuming that that's what his name was. So, yeah, so they kind of made it seem like she really walked downstairs and saw the ghost standing on the porch. Yeah. But not really. So I guess in real life, she never did actually see him.
She was dreaming him.
She was dreaming him.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
And she was convinced that that's what the ghost looked like.
That's right. Every time she does see him, it's a dream. Huh? She never fucking sees him while she's awake. He never appears. Or, from what I remember, maybe. Yeah, no, he never appears.
I think that's the only time.
The demon appears, not him, I think.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's the only time that she sees him, and like I said, it's a dream.
Good.
So, Tiffany doesn't tell Billy about this because, you know, she thinks he's going to make fun of her. So, she goes to the local library and starts pulling, like, all the old deeds for the house. Now, she finds out that the owner of the house, former owner of the house, ran it as a plantation, and that when this owner died, he left the house and the property to the overseer of the property, who was a freed slave whose name was Joseph. Now, Joseph subsequently got fucked out of this inheritance by the former owner's relatives, who I'm guessing like sued or came in or something like that, was saying, we should get this house, not you.
Yeah.
And so they took it away from him.
Just that story right there, what you can deduce from that, I don't know what, of course, the laws depended by county and county. It wasn't even state by state. It was just county by county back in the days when slavery was around in the South. Chances are just that story, my interpretation of that, most likely understanding the culture of that time, Joseph was probably the rightful heir, which meant that he was the owner's son, probably. But you see, back in those days, depending on the county, he probably couldn't marry his mother, not legally. Or once he was born, he wanted it to give it to his son, but the law wouldn't allow him to because he was not married to the mother, which would have made you what they called back in those days a bastard child. You couldn't have inheritance over legally wed relatives or, you know, things.
You're illegitimate.
Be illegitimate. So that's probably what they're talking about. That was his dad's place, and his dad wanted him to have it when he was gone, and the other relatives saw the opportunity to come in there and steal it. That's what it was. They're like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. He wasn't actually married to the mama. They probably got a lawyer and everything. And they go, well, we can take it. Yeah, that's probably what happened.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. That's probably what happened. Because they said he didn't live there very long. And like I said, I don't know how true this story is, but he said he didn't live here very long before the other relatives came in like little vultures.
Yeah.
And took the property
away.
Took
the property and probably sold it and fucking divided the money up.
I'm sure. Samantha says, just joined. What state are we in? This is in Virginia. Franklin, Virginia is where this house is. How did the demon come into play? Ouija board, satanic worship, etc. I don't think we had any of that.
No, it just
emerged. Blame the goths on this one.
Yeah, it just emerged on its own.
It just kind of emerged on its own, perhaps. Yeah, I don't even think they like said anything about, oh, Satanists used to live here or anything like that.
At the end of the story, there's an explanation of what the deal was with Joseph. We'll get to it then. The guy that witnessed everything, he had his own theory about what Joseph and the demon. But we'll talk about it then.
Yeah. So Tiffany said that when she went to the library and saw, like, Joseph's name, like, on the deed, she was, like, really, really weirded out because she's like, man, just the hair stood up on the back of her neck. And she said she compared finding that out to, like, a spiritual experience. And she said she started feeling really bad for Joseph that, you know, maybe he's just hanging around this house because obviously he got fucked out of it in life. So she kind of didn't blame him for, like, hanging out there, which, like I said, I don't think I would either. So, but she gets real excited, so she goes and tells Billy about it, and Billy, again, is a total douche, and he's just kind of, like, real, real dismissive. You know, I've only known this woman for, like, 5 months. Maybe she has a really overactive imagination. Maybe she's crazy. Maybe this and that and the other. So I'm just like, okay, big help. And so she says, well, maybe the reason that I had that dream was because I'm supposed to help Joseph somehow. Now, not long after this, though, shit takes a dark turn. She's in the kitchen washing dishes or whatever the fuck. And she said she smelled something like rotten meat. And apparently what they did on the show, and according to the later paranormal investigator, said this was pretty accurate. They said it's so strong that it, like, basically made you gag and, she, like, drives her out of the house. And she goes out and she's like, man, something fucking weird and something, like, really smells really bad in there. Billy gets mad and says, hey, don't bring up that weird Joseph stuff in front of Georgia because it'll scare her, blah, blah, blah. Georgia was only 8 at this time. But Tiffany says, hey, I'm pretty sure this isn't Joseph. This weird thing is definitely something else, something that doesn't feel human. Now she's starting to wonder, did Joseph actually, like, send me that dream because he actually wanted me out of the house? Or was he trying to tell me that this other scary shit was in here? You know what I mean? Like, she's not really sure at this point. And she's like, maybe that's what it was. Maybe he wasn't trying to kick me out. He was just trying to, like, you know, convey that there's, like, this other demonic shit in here. So Billy is just lost patience at this point. He's like, nope, we're not talking about it anymore. You know, just zip your lips about it. So Tiffany at this point said she felt very isolated because she couldn't really, like, talk to him about anything. Georgia actually senses something is going on with her, but I don't think Georgia has seen anything at this point, so, but she can tell that Tiffany is having some problems. Now, one night, Tiffany says she heard Georgia crying and calling for her dad in the middle of the night, and it sounded like Georgia was right on the other side of their bedroom door. Now, she wakes Billy up and says, hey, Georgia's crying and, like, calling for you. Billy wakes up and runs in Georgia's room, but Georgia is fast asleep. Now, he says, because he was interviewed on the show too, like the real guy, he said, I didn't hear Georgia calling me. So at the time, I just assumed that was kind of another thing where I attributed it to Tiffany being delusional, you know, because now she's hearing my daughter's voice, like, yelling for me. And he just thought she was, like, crazy. So that's, this one actually kept kind of a running tally of, like, what time it was, like, when, because I think they only ended up staying there for, like, a year, a little bit more than a year. So they said at this point, it's, like, fall of 2008. So after this, Billy's awake and he's kind of grumbling about it. So he goes down to the kitchen to get a beer. And I'm not sure exactly what happened at this point. On the show, it's implied that he went to get the beer and then he kind of heard something, like a creak or a footstep or something. And he kind of goes and looks out the back door and he doesn't see anything. And then he turns around and on the show, they kind of had this, like, shadow thing, like, kind of go shh like that. And then they showed him looking at it and being like, oh shit, and, like, dropping the beer bottle and breaking it. And then his eyes go black. Because I guess he had blue eyes before. And the, like, the, not the whole, he didn't go, like, full on black eyes, but just kind of like the pupils and the whatever the fuck. That was black. So you're led to assume that whatever this demonic what's-this is in the house has now, like, possessed the motherfucker. So for the next few weeks, according to both Tiffany and Georgia, Billy acts completely different. Like, Tiffany said he was, like, he would get angry like that. Like, he was just kind of, like, he didn't have any patience with anything. Like, he didn't even talk to him, and he was getting all fucking ragey about everything. And she said it was just not like him at all. And she started to get, like, afraid of him. Like I said earlier, it's no where is that raccoon, but he does come in the house, and like in the hallway outside of George's room, like there's all these lights on, like there's four lights, there's like a couple lamps and like some other shit, and he's just like, who left all these lights on? 1, 2, 3. He was kind of like that, and I was like, oh my god, we're having a Where Is That Raccoon moment. Not quite that egregious, but it was like along the same lines, so I was there for it. So he's banging on George's door, come out here, who left all these lights on? And she comes out and she's like, I didn't leave all the lights out. Fuck, I didn't turn these on. And he's just like, look at all that. You know, do you think I made a money? He didn't say that, but you know what I mean. Yeah, Georgia, like I said, Georgia also said, yeah, he was like not my dad. He was like completely different. Tiffany said she barely recognizes him. His eyes looked dark, which they say a lot on those kind of possession things. They said his voice was like all growly. And she was, like, freaking out because she's, like, she didn't really know how to snap him out of it. And, like I said, she was kind of getting scared of him because he was just acting like a rage monster all the time. So, Georgia, to kind of get away from her lunatic dad, she starts going out in the barn and hanging out with her little bunny rabbit. But one night, she's in there, and she sees a dark shadow figure. She described it as, like, the real person. She described it as the shape of a man, but all black. So she sees that in the barn. And she said she saw that, freaked the fuck out, and ran back to the house. But because there had been so much lack of communication and so much tension in the household, she didn't tell anybody about it at the time because she figured her dad wasn't going to listen to her anyway. So she was just kind of like, whatever. Now, following this, there's actually a sequence where Tiffany is in the shower, and I guess she thinks she hears somebody, like, outside, but she kind of, like, pulls the thing, and, like, there's nobody there. Then she comes out, puts on her little robe, and she's like, what the fuck? And, like, she hears something downstairs that kind of sounds like somebody moving around or banging or thumping or something. And then there's, like, a creak behind her, and she kind of, like, looks behind like that. And then something pushes her, like, down the stairs, like, from, she's on, like, the first or second step down, like, from the top, so she kind of goes all the way down. I don't think she was badly hurt, but it looked like it was probably not a fun time. She said, like, the real lady, she said she very clearly felt hands on the back of her shoulders shoving her, and that it was, like, very aggressive, that's what she said. And she basically falls all the way to the bottom. Like I said, I don't think she broke any bones or nothing like that, or I'm sure they would have said that. But, yeah, it was probably, like, pretty painful, I'd imagine. So she's calling for Billy to help her. She said she was so scared that she didn't even want to move. She just kind of, like, curled up into a fetal position, like, at the bottom of the staircase or whatever. So Billy comes running, and actually, whatever it was, like, I guess, like, seeing her laying there, like, wounded and terrified like that, like, he seemed to, like, snap back to normal, she said. And he actually finally believes her. She's like, the fucking thing, like, pushed me down the goddamn stairs, like, do you believe me now? And he's like, okay, I believe you. And then he said after that, like, he felt really bad that he had been, like, leaving him, you know, her and his daughter, like, alone in the house all this time with whatever the fuck this was. So it took her getting pushed down the stairs for him to, like, actually give a shit about it. So, I'm being mean. Demon stinks. With the little, I like the little pink thing. That's, like, super cute. Next Dimension Media said, addressing an earlier question about the shooting locations, it's Hampton Roads, Virginia. The production company is based in Suffolk, Virginia, okay. Which is New Dominion Pictures. Okay. Yeah, because I'm always kind of curious, like, where they get the houses from. So, at this point, Tiffany calls Jackie Tomlin, who's also interviewed on the show, at Central Virginia Paranormal Investigations. And the team comes out a few weeks later, and Billy is, he gives it the okay, but he's going to be out of town for work, so he's not there. So, it's March of 2009 at this point. So, the family's been in the house for 9 months. Now, one of the first things they do, like, the team goes in there, and Jackie basically says, she's going around with the camera or whatever, and she says to the entity, give us a sign. And, like, the door, like, literally immediately, like, opens up by itself.
Yeah.
And then closes by itself. I'm like, well, that clear enough for you? There you go. And then she says something like, it showed what a bold presence it was. Now, there's actually more to this story, which she wrote about on her blog, which I'll get into in a little bit. But, yeah, they did show that on the show where she basically said, give us a sign, and the door opened and closed by itself. Like, very, very clearly. But she said she videoed it, but I couldn't find a video. So maybe there is a video of it somewhere, like on their website. Like I said, I didn't have a huge amount of time to go through their whole website, but I did see one video that they shot in this house that was kind of like little piece together stuff, and none of the stuff on there was all that impressive, but you know, I don't know if they actually did tape this or not. So the team is there for, I guess, like 12 hours. I don't know if that's like all at once or whatever. And, yeah, they confirm some active paranormal activity, which would seem, you know, yeah, you come in there and just say, show me a sign, and the door is like, do-do-do-do, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, there's some paranormal shit going on here. So Jackie says, I'm pretty sure there's, like, a demon in here, and you probably don't want to fuck with it. And basically, she gives them the very not helpful advice. She's like, I pretty much advise that you move. She's like, because this shit's not good. She's like, there's probably a lot of entities here, but there's one in particular that seems demonic, and you don't want to fuck with it because it's just going to get worse and worse. And if it's already pushed you down the stairs, then obviously it can do like a lot of physical stuff, so you probably shouldn't mess with it. And I advise you, for you to get the fuck out. Tiffany doesn't want to move, though, because other than all of the bullshit going on, you know, she really does love this house. Billy loves this house. They don't really want to move. So she decides, well, I'm not going to tell Billy about it. Because like I said, he's out of town. Like, so he didn't know all of that going on. So a few nights after this, Billy is back home from wherever the hell he was. But Tiffany has not told him again about what the investigator said because she doesn't want to move. And she's afraid that, you know, that it'll be like bad if she says it out loud, I guess. Now, suddenly they hear a horse whinnying from the barn. And Tiffany runs out there to see what the problem is. And she finds that all of the chickens and ducks and the bunny are dead. Now, we were saying, like, Tom even said, well, that could have been just, like, predators, like, yeah, you know, a coyote or something. Now, I will note, though, that Billy said on the show, the real Billy, said they were just laying there dead with not a mark on them. That's what he said.
I didn't say coyote, though. I said bobcat. A coyote will grab something and just shake it to death, all right? It'll leave marks on it. And coyote are kind of big. But man, I've seen bobcat get into chicken coops and just kill every fucking chicken. Feathers everywhere, but there's not a lot of marks on them because they're cats, you know? They love to fucking play. They'll do that shit even when they're not hungry. And they kill them by biting them on the throat, suffocating them, you know? And they'll sink claws into them, but it'd be hard to find those claw marks. You might find some feathers around, but... And they can even get into a cage, you know? A bobcat can open a door and get into something. They're not stupid.
Well, domestic cats can open... Well, hell, Pookie can open our cabinets.
Yep.
No problem at all.
It's like, well, how would they know? They've been around barns and farms their whole fucking life. You know what I mean? If they can open a latch on a fucking door to get in it, that's not the first time they've opened a latch on a door. They've fucking been doing that, you know? Probably raided fucking 30 or 40 chicken coops in their lives. And they'll do it when they're not really hungry. Just like Pookie will fucking go out there and just chase lizards, you know, kill them. She doesn't do it anymore. I think now it's kind of funny.
She doesn't go outside anymore.
Yeah, she doesn't go outside. And if she does go outside, she sees the lizard. She doesn't even chase them. I don't think she ever wanted to kill them. I think she wanted to play with them.
She just wanted to play with them.
And then they're boring now. So she's like, no reason to play with them. They die when you play with them.
It's like, I just play with them and then they just lay there.
Yeah.
After a little while.
Then she kind of realized that it kills them. But, you know, they're cats. That's what they do. They're chasing machines. So probably what happened is this bobcat got in there and just played chase all night. Killed everything in there. And if they had a rabbit inside of them, rabbit pen or rabbit cage, they can get in there. Or bobcat could.
Yeah, because I was assuming that the chickens and ducks were probably just running around loose. So the rabbit was in a hutch, but like I said, it wouldn't take that long. And they did also have a horse, but obviously the horse was all right.
Bobcat wouldn't bother a horse at all.
Well, no, obviously.
Nope.
And like I said, they did have a puppy, which like they didn't show on the show, but the puppy actually got hit by a car.
Yeah.
And that was like a little bit later.
Seen them all
the
time.
Or no, that was earlier, actually. Messed up the timeline a little
bit. Dr. Matt had a bobcat, and he says, I'm going to way out here and shoot it with my AR-15. I said, Dr. Matt, dude, I asked him, I said, I've asked you if I could come kill some of these deer to get them to something to eat. Man, cars are going to hit these things. All right, that's a prey animal. But then you want to come and kill predators? I said, you know what I mean? They don't have you know, high reproductivity, you know. They don't breed in vast numbers. And that made sense to him, I guess. He put trapped out and trapped the bobcat and relocated it. Leave them bobcats alone. It's a cat, you know. Same thing with coyotes. Leave the fucking coyote alone. It's a dog, okay? It's a wild dog. That's all it is. They're no threat. Yeah, they can hurt things, but there's not that many of them. Let them be.
Well, like I said, they're not, you know,
they got to eat too.
They're not prey animals.
They're not a prey animal.
So they don't, I mean, when they have litters, when they have kids, yeah. They don't have that many.
Yeah, and they live a long time, and they eat prey animals, and they don't have super high reproductive rates because they just didn't evolve to be predated on. Deer do. They have a good reproductive rate, you know. A male deer that's fucking 6 years old is probably sired off fucking, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 younglings, you know. So that's good reproductivity. A deer hunter is supposed to build a habitat and breed deer and just cull off the top. You know, you're making deer. You're not killing them. You're making them. Like a farmer. And they're free. That's how it's done. Planting everything they like to eat. You know, because it's not bait, though. You can't bait them. But you can plant trees and ryegrass and fruit trees and things, and you just let them breed out there and pick the older ones. You know, and the good hunters have rules. No spikes, no 4 points, 6 point and above. So you, at least you know that that male deer lived 3 years. And then you can only hunt the does on certain days during the season, you know. You go for the old does. You know, they're kind of tough, but, you know, you go for those. Because then they'll overpopulate if you don't. I mean, you got so much food out there, you know. Then they start fucking, cars start to hit them. And the land can only support so many of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just how the shit goes.
Yeah, just how it is. That's part of the system. Just let them live and eat them. You take them out fucking fast, they don't know what happens. Single shot right to the fucking chest, boom. They just drop like a stone. They might bound off fucking one big leap, but they usually hit the ground dead. They don't even know what happened. You know, primitive weapon with bows. Even they don't know what happened. I hit one guy with a fucking bow, probably about 25 meters, went right through him, and he ran. Had a poison pod in it. He ran, jumped off the wood line, and came right back to where I hit him, and he smelled the ground, trying to figure out what that was, and then his legs got weak, and he fell asleep. He didn't even know what happened. You know, something bit me. What was that? Went back to see what it was. So evidently, it doesn't hurt.
I would hope not.
It's sharp.
Yeah.
Sharp, and it happened real fast. You hear it hit, boom! You know, I had to get my bow one of these days. I'll show it to him. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, so we don't know, like I said, because, yeah, the chickens and the bunny and everything like that were dead, but, and then they did have a puppy, but like I said, the puppy got hit by a car.
Yeah.
And the horse wasn't killed. So they were assuming that all the animals had been killed by the demon, but, you know, that could go either way. Obviously, though, Georgia was very upset at the bunny being dead. I was also very upset at the bunny being killed. And I'm sure they didn't. I mean, obviously, they didn't really kill a bunny playing for the show. But, you know, I was still upset about it. Georgia said that she knew back then that she called the demon the Man in Black. That's what she called him from that time. So she said she knew that he had done that. Now, here's the most hilarious part of the whole show to me. I loved this so much. And it just, like, made me laugh out loud. So because the investigators had been there and shit seemed to be getting worse because now all their animals are dead, so they call a Catholic priest. So he comes to the house and he starts doing a blessing. So while he's doing the thing, Tiffany is telling him that, you know, yeah, there's a presence in the house and, you know, we're glad you came and it's making us feel very unsafe. Like, all our animals were killed. It pushed me down the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's telling him about all the stuff that's been going on. But she was like, well, he didn't seem like he was really listening and really didn't seem to believe them. He's just kind of like going around the house going, yep, blessing the thing. And then, yep, that's interesting. Sure. Oh, you know, it's a lot of times it's nothing. It's just people's imagination. Yada, yada. He's saying that kind of crap. Now, while he's doing, I don't know if this is what really happened, but I hope it is because it's like super funny. But so while he's doing the blessing, like upstairs, like I think it was in front of George's bedroom door. Billy said, the real Billy. He said the temperature dropped, like it got really, really cold. There was that rotten meat smell, like very, very strong, like just popped out of nowhere. And George's bedroom door opened by itself. Now, on the the show, they showed, like, the door opens, and then the priest is looking, and they're like, what the fuck? And then there's, like, this, like, supernaturally kind of wind, and then the door slams shut again. And it's hilarious to me, because then, at least, like, the actors, Tiffany and Billy are, like, not even all that phased, and they're just like, see, that's what we were telling you about, you know what I mean? And it kind of reminded me of that scene in Poltergeist, where the paranormal investigators are there, like, all sitting around the table, and then, like, the lights flash, and the family are, like, so used to it at this point, oh, there'll be another couple in a second, like, they always travel in pairs, or something like that, and, like, the paranormal investigators are freaking out. So it's, like, it reminded me of that. So they're like, yeah, that's what we've been telling you about, see? Like we were telling you. And the priest is like, yep, bless, 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 all good. And then starts like running toward the front door saying like, yep, that's all the house needs. House is fine. Bye. You know what I mean? It was pretty hilarious. I just like laughed and laughed. Tiffany said, the real Tiffany, she said he was in and out of the house in less than 5 minutes. Yeah. Like on the show, like the actress comes out on the porch and she was like, is that it? Like while he's running to his car.
And yeah, put the cross on her head.
I kind of fucking cracked up.
Here's some holy water.
I wrote down, I actually wrote down the exact quote that the real Billy said. He said, rather than stay in battle, he chose to run. Yeah. Here's holy water. Sprinkle it around the house. Put the sign of the cross on your daughter's forehead every night during prayers and she'll be okay. You know, the only way it can hurt you is if you believe it. Believe in it. And he said, guess what, pal? Things are happening and we believe. Yeah. So it's like, I thought that was so funny because like I wrote it. Because he was like, the thing about Billy was that, you know, because he's really on the show, he seemed very much like somebody that would not make up a story like this. Like, I'm not saying that all this stuff happened.
Just a regular Southern guy.
He just seemed like a regular Southern guy. He was, like, kind of gruff and everything. So I just thought it was funny that...
They saw something.
That, yeah, he was just kind of like, guess what, pal? Like, after the fucking priest, like, ran away. I just thought that was hilarious. I think this is, like, there was another episode, too, where the same thing happened. Like, where a priest came, and it's just like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. I'm blessing the house, and then, like, some scary shit happened, and he's like, see ya, bye! You know what I mean? So it was that kind of thing. But it's just, like, it made me laugh. I was like, well, Father Karras, he's not, that's for sure. So for the next few days, they do what the chicken shit priest told them to do. And they said it did seem to be working to some degree, to his credit. Now, at this point, Tiffany said she started to feel Joseph's presence less and less, and she said she hoped that it was because that, you know, the priest being there briefly had, you know, made Joseph go on to the next life or whatever. And one of their theories was that maybe this other demonic thing was keeping Joseph's spirit there. You know what I mean? And that maybe, like, the priest being there had actually helped and, like, loosened the hold on the shit.
Another thing that he said is he thought that maybe Joseph was there to warn them about it.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. But that possibility, but I don't believe in demons in the way that they're talking about here.
No,
you actually define what a demon is, you're talking about an angel. Angels can destroy cities and do all this shit that's talked about in the Bible. So, what's it doing fucking around in a farmhouse?
That's what I always wanted to know. It's like, what? Yeah. Unless they're like some little fucking piddly ass demon, yeah. Like it's some kind of training exercise.
It's more. I think it's more likely something like a ghost or one of the kids manifesting poltergeist activity, which is kind of like a false ghost. But, you know, poltergeist activity or psychic abilities can access the past. Maybe somehow the kid that's doing it is knew about Joseph who had been fucked over in this place. Place could have just been a bad place, you know, strong with the dark side, that type of stuff. Might have been a ghost. The whole thing might have been Joseph, you know. People are kind of dualistic. Maybe he had a good side and a bad side. I mean, shit, he got fucked over. He probably grew up in that house, and his dad was going to give it to him. I guarantee that was his dad, which would have been rightfully his. But because of the laws that said that he wasn't married to the mama, the relatives steal it, basically, and kick him out of his own house where he fucking grew up in. So yeah, you're gonna end up being a fucking a ghost going, this is my house.
I'm gonna haunt this shit too, guys.
Now, was he actually in there? Or is it just a remnant of that aspect of his personality? The only way to know is to go in there and astrally project yourself into the damn spirit world and go see. Yeah. You laugh, but I think it's possible. Fucking it's happened to me, but by accident, just spontaneously. And imagine if you went to a place like that and you fucking came out, you gave up the ghost, you'd probably see something weird on the other side. But it probably wouldn't be anything complicated. It would just have weird effects on this on this side of the dimension. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So after the whole priest debacle, you know, they did have a few days where everything seemed like it was fine. And Georgia said she hoped at this point that everything had gone back to normal. But one night after she gets put to bed, the demon thing, like, kind of invades her room, it seems like. Like, on the show, they kind of showed it, like, her it creeping up behind her. And she said that it said her name. She said that the voice sounded, like, weird and altered. Those were the words that she used. And she said that it sounded like the voice was right next to her ear. And that it said her name. Now, the show actually had the demon pulling the covers off her and, like, her screaming and freaking out and then, like, her parents rushing in. I don't know if that really happened because she didn't say that. But she did say that she heard it, like, talking to her. On the show, she said, oh, the man in black, that's what she called the demon, was standing next to her bed. Now, Tiffany at this point says the fact that the demon acknowledged Georgia by saying her name, that was kind of like the last straw. So at this point, Tiffany and Billy have had enough. They pick up Georgia, I'm assuming it's like the middle of the night, and they just get the hell out. They had a 3-year lease, they said, but they just broke it. They'd been there for a little over a year, and they were like, fuck this place. And Billy said, I don't even think I looked in the rearview mirror, like, as they drove away from the shit. Yeah, and he came on, and he basically, I didn't write down the exact quote, but he basically said, he's like, this thing graduated from footsteps and, like, banging on the doors and the windows to pushing people downstairs, killing every animal we owned. And he thought, I mean, he did seem to say that he thought when the investigators came that they had stirred it up. I don't know if that's the case or not. And he said, and the priest didn't do shit. It didn't help. And so he's like, at this point, yeah, we got to get the fuck out. So, as I said, they had lived there for more than a year, but, they broke the lease and they just got the hell out. So Billy and Tiffany, they said they got married in June of 2013. I have no idea if they're still married or not. Then they had a little coda at the end where they said, we had taken some pictures when we, like, of us sitting on the front steps of the house, like, the first day that they moved in. And they actually hadn't looked at them prior to that, because I guess it was a digital camera or whatever, and they just didn't bother looking at them. They said when they looked at them later, there was the two of them were on the sitting on the front steps of the house, like, because I guess Georgia took it. And they said, like, in the window or the glass door, like, behind them, there was, like, a ghostly figure. Now, they showed, like, a picture on the show, but it was obviously not the real one because it had the actors in it. So I don't know what the real photo looked like, but they did say about it. And she said that Billy was, like, too scared to look at it. So I don't know what the real one looks like. So the house is apparently still there. Someone else lives there now, obviously. But nobody knows if anything weird goes on there. Billy and Tiffany said they sometimes drove by the house occasionally just out of curiosity. So this show, I think, first aired in maybe 2014. I want to say it was 2014, something like that.
They're asking if it's a good episode. Yeah, it's a good episode.
This was actually, like, a much better episode, than I remembered. Samantha said, just joined. What state are we in? Wait, is Virginia. That the same? Virginia. Old. Well, no, it's a different.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's a different. It's Virginia. What did I say the name of the place? Franklin, Virginia. So, as I mentioned, I actually found the paranormal investigator lady, Jackie, that was on this episode. She actually wrote a big, long thing not too long after this episode aired where she talked about the actual case, the actual investigation, some of the stuff they didn't show on the show. She said that she thought the show did a really good job. Now, she says at the end, she's like, well, she's like, normally, like, when, you know, I don't know how many times they've been contacted by the show, but she's like, usually if you get contacted by, like, a paranormal show, you're kind of, like, wary about it because you don't know what the fuck they're going to do with the story, and they're like, they usually fuck it up. But she said that she was actually really happy with how they did this one, I guess, because... But yeah. The thing about it is that the paranormal team weren't there the whole time. So I guess she means she was happy with how they portrayed the shit that happened, like, while they were there. You know what I mean? Which wasn't a huge amount. Because Zach said, I also thought it was weird how the paranormal team was only in this for a couple minutes. They're usually in there longer. I mean, yeah. They were there. Yeah, I think they were only there, like I said, for 12 hours. I thought the whole thing with the priest was funnier, but you know what I mean. So this is what Jackie said. Now, Jackie said that when Tiffany first contacted her, she said she was, like, really scared, and so was Georgia, and she said there was a bunch of turmoil in the house because of Billy, and he didn't believe it at first. And she, at this point, said there was a whole bunch of changes that she'd seen him since moving in, and she actually called them after the animals died. She said that her animals were dying with no explanation. I don't know if that was just one event or if it was, like, several events over time. She does say, and this is a quote from her blog post, and this is not Tiffany, this is the paranormal investigator. She says, "I can confirm that what you saw on television were just some of her actual reports." Now, basically, she says, when Tiffany first called her, she said they, you know, her company was, like, really, really slammed, and she actually had to put her on a waiting list. She said, at which point Tiffany would call her, like, pretty much every day, like, "Hey, when the fuck are you guys coming out here? Because it's, like, really bad." She said that she's like, "Well, at first, before I went to the house," she's like, "I didn't necessarily think she was crazy, but she's like, I thought that she was maybe scared that I would turn the case down," because she's like, "We were actually 2 hours away from her." And she said, now, as the time went on, because, like I say, she was calling every day, she said she's starting to come up with some stuff that she was reporting that made her kind of doubt the story, like she was coming up with some, like, Amityville Horror type shit. But she said, "Well, I had already agreed to take the case, so, you know, I was going to do it. But, like I said, we were backed up, so I didn't get out there until, like, a little bit later." So she goes to Franklin, and she, you know, kind of describes the house. But she said inside the house was, like, really nice and everything like that. But she's like, it had a feeling, like a really strong feeling of being watched when you went inside. Now, one of Tiffany's reports that she said that they didn't talk about on the show, she said, when you go through the kitchen, she's like, Tiffany showed her, like, all these flies on the kitchen counter. She said these were big, huge. She's like, they weren't house flies and they weren't horse flies, but they were big. And she's like, "Well, I didn't really think too much about it." She's like, "Well, it's a farm and it could be some kind of thing." She's like, "It wasn't exactly a swarm," but she's like, "It was like 40 of them, like, all in one place."
She saved them?
Like, dead ones. I don't know. Okay. Like, just in one place, it was dead ones. Okay. I guess it was kind of a situation, I'm just kind of assuming here, but I'm assuming the situation was Tiffany was like, "Oh, yeah, we have all these weird, like, dead flies, like, turning up." Just like, "Oh, look, there's some now." And, you know, so Jackie is just kind of like, "I didn't think it was weird." I mean, it's weird because it was 40 in one spot. Now, she said when they went through the kitchen and out through the barn and then they came back into the kitchen, she said all the flies were gone, like all the dead flies. And she's like, thought that was weird. Okay. So there's that. So she also said, and I think I mentioned this earlier, she's like, yeah, she talked about the rabbit. Now, the rabbit was still alive when the paranormal investigator came, because she said, you know, "I went out to the barn and I saw the rabbit," and she said it was this big rabbit, biggest one she'd ever seen. They also had a puppy named Rebel, like I said, and the horse out there. Now, she said the horse could actually walk from the barn, like could go outside and could walk to the porch on the main house. And Tiffany was telling her the horse does not want to go in the barn anymore, and nothing that you can do will entice the horse to go back into the barn, because the horse is, like, scared.
Something spooked it in the barn.
That's, yeah.
But was that was that the bobcat time, though?
I don't know. Because, like I said, at this point, the rabbit was still alive. I'm not sure about the chickens. I'm assuming maybe the chickens were dead. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the rabbit was still alive, because the paranormal investigator said she saw the rabbit.
So. I had a pony that would not get in the wash rack because it had rubber mats. And I have no idea why. Remember Tiger? Lily?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Tiger Lily would not step on rubber mats for some reason. Scared of them.
Aw.
She wouldn't go to... You had to wash her outside the wash rack. And I tried everything and couldn't get her on there. She just... Nope. Not going in there. She thought she was going to fall or something.
Aw.
Weird.
Well,
never seen anything about it. She associated those fucking rubber mats with something.
Yeah, it must be some kind of, like, really bad association.
Yeah.
And it must be maybe from, like, when she was young and something like that.
Know.
And it really, like,
never seen it. Never seen anything like it.
I know. But, you know, like I said, animals make associations just like children do. And they're really, really hard to shake off. So, yeah. So the horse, she said the horse didn't want to come in the barn. Now, Jackie said that within 72 hours of her first coming out to the house, the rabbit was found dead in the barn with no explanation. Shortly thereafter, the puppy ran from the house down the driveway and got run over by a car.
So the rabbit didn't die at the same time that the chickens did.
No.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, the show implied that all the animals died at once.
Yeah.
But just from the way she's talking, I'm assuming that either some or all of the chickens and the ducks died because Jackie said that Tiffany kept calling, like, before she went out there. She said Tiffany kept calling me and saying, oh, my animals are dying without explanation. But by the time that Jackie got out there, the rabbit was still alive.
Was big, though. The rabbit might have been pretty up there in age, you know. It's hard to say. You'd have to do an autopsy to know for sure.
Yeah.
Very rare that paranormal stuff kills animals.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really fucked up if that happened. So the rabbit was dead within 72 hours, she said. No explanation. She says, upstairs in the master bedroom, there was a feeling of actual oppression. That's what she called it. And she said that she had done some, like, audio, recorded some audio that day, like an EVP type thing. And she said when she played it back, she heard, like, some unexplained heavy breathing. Hmm. And that there was no one in the house at the time but her and Tiffany. And another thing, too, is that when she first met Billy... she said that he seemed very gruff, and she said she didn't remember if his eyes were blue or dark or whatever, because it was a whole thing about, oh, he's possessed and, like, his eyes went dark or whatever. But she said, she's like, I can't really recall what color his eyes were that day. She's like, but I did meet him again when we were in the boardroom or the conference room at New Dominion Pictures when they were working on the, on the episode.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I noticed his eyes were blue, and she said... He seemed completely different than the first time I'd met him, and he didn't remember having met her before.
Hmm.
That's what she claimed anyway. So, like I said, they're trying to imply that he was possessed the first time. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what she said. So, as I mentioned, the photos that they took, like, on moving day, they reviewed them later on and said there was, like, a face in the window, like, behind them. And she apparently said that it hadn't been tampered with. I don't know what the actual photo looks like.
They didn't show the actual
because
photo.
The only one they showed on the show was like the fake one, you know. So there's that. As I said, they actually, even though they said on the show that Tiffany did her own research into the history of the house and found out the stuff about Joseph and everything, Jackie said that her and her friend Linda Silk, who lived in Sussex, Virginia, pulled the deeds themselves. And they wanted to find out, like, as much as they could. They said that somewhere on the land there was an old family cemetery on that as well. And also, I don't think they mentioned this on the show, but she said that everybody that had lived in the house prior, like everybody that rented it, didn't usually stay longer than a year. Like, they would always leave. Another thing that Jackie brought up was that on the morning of the investigation, her daughter, who is also, like, the co-founder of this paranormal investigation team, she was fine, but when they got to the house or started, like, unloading or unloading equipment, she started getting sick and stayed sick for the entire investigation. They said that also there was kind of a bunch of, like, electrical anomalies that happened at the house. Tiffany called them and said the heat was out. And that when they did the investigation, they actually had to use, like, space heaters and the wood stove because the heat wasn't working. And Billy was out of town, and I guess they couldn't take care of it. When they got there, too, the power was out in the barn, also with no explanation. They also said that while they were setting up their equipment, four of the investigators and Jackie were unpacking equipment, and they said a very, very strong cold breeze came into the room, like, so cold that you could see all their breath. It was that. And they said, yeah, it was kind of cold because there wasn't heat, but they had, like, the wood stove and everything going, so it was 65 degrees it was supposed to be. So there was that. And remember what I said about, like, when she first goes into the house and she says, show me a sign, and the door opens? She's like, okay, actually, Tiffany had told them that there is a door in, it's like a door to, like, a crawl space, like, under the second, like, the stairwell. And she said that door opens on command. So she said, well, I got to check that shit out. So she says, so I go in there, I stood 4 feet away from the door and asked it to open. It did more than once.
Weird.
So I don't know if that's true or not. But like I said, they showed on the show, just, like, show us a sign. But she's like, open the door, and it opened. And apparently, like, it did it over and over. And I guess it had been doing that before that, because she said Tiffany reported that before we went there, that the door would open if you told it to. Tiffany also said that the bathroom off the dining room had a light that would come on. She'd had electricians in, but they couldn't find anything to it. And she said it was very quick, like someone just flipped the switch. And I actually did see video of this, because they posted a video of it on their site. It's not, like, super impressive, but it is, like, a little bit weird. Like, they are kind of, like, shooting. They're not shooting in the bathroom. It's kind of, like, back here, and, like, the bathroom's kind of in the back. And you kind of do see the light go, like, boom, boom, and, like, go on and off, like, really quick like that. And there's nobody around. So there's that. Now, remember how I said that she was reporting Amityville Horror stuff? Okay, this is what I'm talking about. Apparently there was, like, gunk oozing from the walls. Yes, like in the Amityville Horror. So Tiffany had reported that that there was stuff coming out of the walls. And they didn't really believe her at first, but they said that it did happen while they were there. They said it looked like what she described, what Jackie described it. She said it looked like Karo syrup with a yellowish-brownish tint. She said it wasn't just, like, a drip here and there. It was, like, a lot. It was just kind of, like, across a wall, and it was, like, big drips, and it would start it at the seam in the ceiling. So they said they went up to check the floor upstairs, and, like, they went under the house. They were trying to, like, figure out what it was, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And then they went back to film it, and it was gone as if it had never been there. So they said they couldn't collect any of it, which, like I said, convenient, but
that there's no evidence left behind. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. A couple other things they reported were kind of like weird audio anomalies. They said that sometimes, like, they'd be recording stuff, and like when the audio recorder was in record mode, it would start playing earlier recordings, like, back to them, which they thought was, like, really weird. They said that happened a couple of times. Like, it would play their own voices back to them, even though it was supposed to be recording and not playing. So they said that was pretty weird. Let's see. There was some stuff with the heater. I don't even know what that was. Yeah, she said the horrible smell. She said the show did a wonderful job on that reenactment. They said Tiffany never reported the smell from the dining room. She said, but when we were in there, the team was in there doing an audio session, she said we smelled it, and she said it wasn't a case of, you know, hey, do you smell that? She's like, it was very, very strong and pungent and nauseating. That's what she said. She said it smelled like rotten meat or a dead body. She said that they did a bunch of EVPs. They said they could never deny or confirm the presence of Joseph. She said, but I can state that the only audio captured on the entire investigation was during the questioning of Joseph, like the only EVPs that they got. So I don't know if they said anything that was all that clear.
She didn't say what the EVPs were?
No. And like I said, I listened to some, like I said, they had, there's like little bits of video and stuff like that, but some of the stuff I can't really tell, like,
what it says
or anything like that. Let's see. One of the investigators on the team, she said one of the, he's like a huge, huge skeptic. And he said while he was in the master bedroom, he felt as though someone poured a cold pitcher of water down his shirt collar. And he was, like, really freaked out by it and couldn't figure out what had happened. Also said they also went out to the barn, like, that evening. They said there was no power out there and they didn't catch any EMPs. But she said they had a lot of electrical problems out there, like all the digital cameras and like some of this all began to like power off like at the same time, like inexplicably. And then she's like, they did it a couple times, like over the course of the evening, and they still kept having problems, like the shit kept shutting off for no reason. She said the last time they went out there, she said, let me see if I can describe this. We felt small, as if what was in there was larger than life itself. She also said they felt threatened. So there was that. And she was saying they tried to entice the horse into the barn, and the barn, she said the horse looked at them like they were crazy. Like, no fucking way am I coming in there. You know, and they couldn't get the horse to come in there. So there was that. They also took a picture, and I saw the picture. Like I said, it's not all that impressive, but they took a picture inside the barn that seems to show some kind of shadowy something or other that, like, could be a figure, it could be somebody's shadow, it could be lots of things. Like, it was kind of, like, ambiguous, but they did put the photo of it, like, up on the thing. Also, she said they got a lot of camera interference. There's that. There was another bit of video that they got that I looked at. Again, not super impressive. None of these ever are, but it's just kind of like they were filming. I couldn't even tell what they were filming. It was just kind of like the corner of a room or something. And then, like, all of a sudden, this thing comes in. It looked like, she calls it the flame, and I guess you could call it that, but it does kind of look like this weird light that's kind of red, like reddish orange, like kind of comes in like thin like that, like shoo, like that. So it looked weird, but I don't know if I'd be like, oh, that's paranormal necessarily.
It was video?
I think it was video. Was it video or was it a photo?
It just
I can't
comes
remember.
Into frame?
Because she made a video where she put together like clips of video from the investigation and still photos from the investigation.
Was she sitting there, you know, smoking, and a little fucking ember came off her cigarette, went out in front of the camera?
No, it was bigger than that.
Bigger than that?
Okay. Like, it looked bigger than that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying it was paranormal. It probably wasn't, but I'm just saying that it was weird looking, but I don't know like what it was necessarily. And then she says the bread. Okay, I saw the video of this too. Now, this video, they said it took place in the kitchen early in the morning when they were, you know, wrapping up the investigation. They were packing up all their stuff, but they still had one of the cameras on, like, in the kitchen. And they just kind of had it facing, like, toward there was, like, the stove, and there was, like, a table in the foreground. And the table in the foreground had, like, a bunch of shit on it, and then, like, it had, like, a loaf of bread that was, like, in a wrapper still, and it was just kind of, like, on the edge. Now, she said nobody had been in the kitchen for a couple of hours at this point because it was very early in the morning. And the bread, I couldn't really tell what I was looking at. She said that the end of the bread, like the end of the packaging of the bread is like unraveling, which it does kind of look like that now that I'm thinking about it. And she said you can't really see it all that much from the video, but she said the bread actually kind of tilts off the table as well. Now, as I said, I watched, it's not super impressive, like I said, but it does look like something weird is going on at the end of that bread loaf, like of the packaging. It looked like, because I'm sitting there looking at it, I'm like, what am I looking at? Like, she said it was unraveling, which maybe it was. I don't know. I don't know if there was a twist tie on it or not. Like, maybe somebody just went like that and it suddenly decided it
couldn't
was just
couldn't see
good.
Real well.
You couldn't really see it all that good. It almost, to me, it almost kind of looked like the end, and I don't know, maybe it just was a optical illusion, but it almost kind of looked like the end of the loaf of bread was kind of going like that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe. But it was, like, so subtle, I couldn't really tell.
But weird either way.
It was, yeah, it was kind of weird looking. It was kind of weird. Like I said, not super impressive, but a little bit weird. A little bit weird. Now she says there's a noticeable swirl beside it. You can see it by the stove. I didn't really see that. I guess I know what she's talking about, but I didn't really notice it. So there was that. She also says, I don't know if this has anything to do with the thing, but she says the day after they were at the house, one of the investigators, said they had four cats. Two of the cats got sick and had to be taken to the vet. One of them had to be put down. And she says she felt really shitty, like, after that, too. Like, her daughter was sick, and that she felt really shitty, like, lethargic. Another investigator that was there also called to say he was sick. And then another one called and said they were sick. And then the skeptical one, I'm assuming this is the guy that said that he felt cold water down his back of his neck or whatever, says, I'm going to the doctor. I have a really bad migraine. So apparently everybody got, like, really sick after they went to this house. And then another one calls. I don't know how many people she has on her team, but it's a lot. So another one calls and says, both of my dogs are sick, and I'm taking them to the vet. One of the dogs was sick, and she took him to the vet. The other one, like, ran away. And then Jackie said that her dog is, like, freaking out, like, trying to dig through the bottom of the bathtub and shit like that. They said, which that dog never did before. So everybody's animals were acting weird or getting sick, and all the people are acting weird and getting sick. So they attributed that to the investigation. She says that she reached out to a demonologist, Bishop James Long, in Kentucky. And basically, I guess because they didn't really show this on the show, but I think, according to what, I mean, from what I could glean from what she said, was that Jackie said, oh, you should bring in a demonologist. But I guess maybe Tiffany said no because she wanted to stay in the house, or I don't really know. But they said that they didn't really decide to bring the demonologist in, but she said she did contact him in Kentucky, like, talk to him about this case. So there was that. And basically, she says, everybody asked me, did I really tell them to, hey, move out? She's like, yes, I absolutely did. And she said, this is right from her blog. She said, this is the first and only case I have ever stated that to anyone, that they should just move out the fucking house. So, at the end, she basically just says that when she got called to do the show, she was, like, very skeptical because paranormal shows will usually, like, exaggerate stuff or, like, make it. And she was, like, really happy that that didn't happen. So she really liked how this show turned out. So basically that's... She says... This is what she says at the end. She says... by choice, we release very little on demonic cases. We are seeing trends to them, as in other cases. However, the last thing I need is everyone yelling, it's a demon, to get on TV. These cases are rare, but they do happen. So, you know, that's basically what she said about that. So, yeah. They didn't do, you know, and then she says at the end, the house on television is not the actual house, which, like, okay. I said, they don't usually. But, you know, what year did this occur? 2008.
So not that long ago, actually.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things. Some of these are back in the 70s from this series.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this season was 2014. So some of these, I feel like they tried to get more recent kind of stuff.
Okay. I thought it was a good episode. Is there anything else you want to talk about it?
I guess not, because that was kind of like all... Like I said, that was pretty much... I tried to find the real house. Maybe one of y'all can find it, but...
You want something to eat?
Yeah.
Which one? Some grits?
Okay.
Yeah, with bacon and cheese?
I thought you were going to make bread today.
I never got around to it. Man, I wasn't feeling good today.
Okay.
Yeah.
He just kept saying less, because sometimes, like, at night, he'll be like, oh, I should make some bread, and I'm like, don't forget about it, because...
Yeah, I say, I'm going to make cookies.
Yeah, and then he never made them. Yeah. Then he never makes them.
I'm not feeling that well, so I want to make something that's, like, quick and easy, like one dish, you know?
Yeah, that's fine. Do we have, like, anything to put in them, like eggs or anything?
Yeah, I can hard-boil some eggs.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, then.
All right, so hold on. Tim said, I've lived in Virginia for about 3 months, and horseflies are here, but rare, and never like going in the house. Usually stay in the backyard. Yeah, I mean, we have horseflies here as well.
They said it wasn't horseflies, though.
Yeah, she said it wasn't horseflies, and it wasn't houseflies. She wasn't really sure what they were.
Some kind of big fly. I've seen those in Egypt. They don't really have them here, but the thing is that she couldn't collect them. She said they disappeared. It wasn't there.
Yeah. Which, like I said, that seems... Yeah. I'm not saying they're lying. I'm just saying it's a little convenient.
I had shit in fucking Poltergeist fucking house disappear.
Yeah.
But we also captured stuff. Pieces of toilet paper with drops of blood on it. Got pictures. Got pictures of things that it had arranged. But nothing conclusive, you know what I mean? I mean, I got photographs of fucking pillows and fucking patterns. You're like, why are you taking pictures of pillows and patterns? You had to be there to understand why we
did. You're like, because I didn't do that shit.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, how we found it. Yeah.
Tim says, I'd be out of there if Aunt Jemima syrup was coming out of the walls. Jeez.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like as soon as stuff starts seeping out of the walls, and I knew that it wasn't, you know, just like a fucking pipe burst or something like that, I'd be like, yep, that's some demonic shit. Bye. All right. So we will be back again tomorrow evening. Talking about a movie, probably. I don't know which movie we're going to do because I don't know what we're going to watch later.
Yeah.
But we were saying that we should probably do Godfather 2 this week, but I don't
know. Either that or Sicario Part 2.
Or Sicario 2. So we might
I think Sicario 2 is probably faster.
It might be shorter.
Might be shorter, yeah.
We'll have faster. To, like, look at the runtime to see, because I don't want to be, like, falling asleep at the end. Danny Rowling said we should do Chud.
I thought we did.
We still haven't done Chud.
Okay.
And if we do that, we'd probably have to do Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Yeah.
But which I haven't seen since I was a kid. But yeah, so we'll be back tomorrow talking about another movie. Thank you, everybody, for dropping by on this Haunting Mondays. And we'll see you again tomorrow evening. Bye.